You're listening to the Do Gooders podcast. In far-reaching corners of the last frontier, the Alaska National Guard and the Salvation Army partner to visit communities that need a little extra love each season with a special project, Operation Santa. We've just marked the 50th year the Salvation Army has partnered in this way as the team arrives in Black Hawk helicopters and on snowmobiles to set up a celebration for the community. Everyone from the babies to the elders are invited, and for many, it's their first time meeting Santa or having an ice cream sundae. In these 50 years, the Salvation Army has provided more than 38,000 toys and thousands of backpacks, school supplies, and books, serving thousands of children in rural Alaska, as more than 90 communities have been visited by Santa and his team of merry elves. Jenny Ragland, the Service Extension and Emergency Disaster Services Director for the Salvation Army in Alaska, is on the show today to share more about Operation Santa. She's been involved in the planning for years, even visiting more than 30 communities herself to assist as one of Santa's elves. In 2019, the operation visited Tuntuliak and Napakiak, and Jenny takes us inside the fun and, as she shares, the event that creates memories for a lifetime. So allow me to introduce to you today, Jenny Ragland.
You're listening to the Do Gooders Podcast, a show from the Salvation Army's Caring Magazine, where we firmly believe that good starts with you. We get it. Life is busy, and we know you want to do good, but squeezing another thing into the to-do list is hard. Idea organizer, truth seeker, and good infuser Kristen Thieme will introduce you to people just like you who are doing good right where they are, so you can be inspired to make your world a better, brighter place. Listen in on honest conversations for actions you can take to do good today. Here's your host, Caring Magazine editor, Kristen Thieme.
Did you know your used goods and thrift shop finds help fund Salvation Army addiction rehabilitation programs across the country? That's right. When you donate and shop at the Salvation Army, you help men and women get their lives back. You give kids their parents back. Go behind the scenes of it all at www.caringmagazine.org/ARC. That's caringmagazine.org/ARC. Well, Jenny, thank you so much for being on the Do Gooders podcast and welcome today.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
So you've recently returned from service as one of Santa's elves, I understand. Can you give me an overview of the Operation Santa program and the Salvation Army's involvement in it?
Absolutely. So we are really excited. This is the 50th year that the Salvation Army in Alaska has partnered in the Operation Santa program. The program originated with the Alaska National Guard when they responded to provide Christmas for children in the community of St. Mary's after they had had spring flooding and some other issues that made it challenging for them to provide and take care of the children in the community that year. So they reached out to the National Guard, and the Guard reached out to the Anchorage community and collected toys and transported the goods to St. Mary's that Christmas. So that really is the beginning of Operation Santa. And the Salvation Army joined in that program in the late 1970s. And I believe it started with our Women's Auxiliary Program, where they were dressing dolls as one of their fundraising events. And some of those dolls that were beautifully dressed with usually crocheted dresses and handmade outfits were contributed in support of the Operation Santa program. And then fast forward 50 years, and the Salvation Army is the nonprofit partner with the Alaska National Guard, and we are responsible for providing toys and all of the other items, which includes backpacks and school supplies and books and snacks and hygiene items for the children who we visit in communities with Op Santa.
So this is just one aspect of your work for the Salvation Army in Alaska. Can you share a little bit more about what your role is as Service Extension and Emergency Disaster Services Director?
Well, I provide resources and support through the Emergency Disaster Services Program to ensure that the Salvation Army is engaged in caring for communities that are impacted by a disaster. If it's a community where we have a Salvation Army presence and officers are serving in that community, then I come alongside and make sure that they have the adequate resources to help address that need. If they need guidance and help in determining where they best might serve in their community, making sure that we have people that are trained and ready to deploy in the event of a disaster. And then if it's a community where there is no Salvation Army, then I serve as the coordinator, the incident commander, to help guide and direct and determine how the Salvation Army will engage. And that involves a number of things, partnering with our government partners at FEMA or at the state level or at the local level, partnering with other organizations such as our partners at the Red Cross and Mennonites and the Lutherans and all of the agencies that come together. So that's kind of the disaster side. And then Service Extension, we are reinvigorating our Service Extension ministry in Alaska. We have two active service units, one in Cordova and one in the community of Bethel. Bethel is in southwest Alaska, and Cordova is between south central and southeast Alaska in Prince William Sound. We're also working with communities like Valdez and looking at Seward and looking to the future to other hub communities where the Salvation Army can really have a presence and do something to help impact the practical needs of people, utilizing volunteers and support from those communities.
So the Operation Santa, I imagine, is a very fun part of your job each year.
It is one of the, it's one of the amazing, yeah, I love it.
Can you tell us this year about how it went? Maybe take us inside a couple of the two of those trips that you took this year?
Absolutely. So we start usually planning for Operation Santa in the springtime. We work with the National Guard, who identifies communities that have maybe experienced some type of hardship. It could have been economic related. It could have been a local disaster. It could have been some type of local loss in a community of an elder, or we oftentimes see communities that struggle with suicide. So we look for areas where they really would benefit from having someone come and just encourage them. And we meet with the National Guard on a regular basis. We have partners in Alaska who make Op Santa happen because of their generous giving to the Salvation Army. Walmart is an amazing partner, and we are able to purchase toys to take to the children thanks to their generous support. Costco stores, they provide all of the snacks that we put into the backpacks as well as the backpacks for all of the children in the community, and they have been doing that for a number of years. And one of the favorite things, I think, sometimes even more popular than Santa maybe, is that our partner from Tasty Freeze, Rich Owens, who's also been engaged with Op Santa for about 20 years himself, brings ice cream sundaes. Mm-hmm. And ice cream is a real treat in the communities. The cost of living is just really substantial. I remember going to one of the general stores in one of the communities we visited and looking just at the prices of food on the shelves in their little grocery store, which we would equate kind of to like a 7-Eleven size store. And that was the only grocery store that provided food support for the entire community. And they had a bag of fruit, the mixed apples and oranges, and it was $23.99 for a 5-pound bag of fruit. So to just think about the cost and how that impacts a community, you know, we take so many things for granted. But when we were in Napakiak in early December, when we went to Napakiak, we were getting set up and we flew from Anchorage to Bethel in C-12 planes from the National Guard base here. And once we got to Bethel, we flew in Black Hawk helicopters. And so there wasn't enough space in the helicopter to take all of us in one trip. So they were shuttling people back and forth. And I was on the first team that went and getting things organized and set up. And I talked with a young lady who lived there. And at first I thought she was a student, but then as we were talking, I learned that she actually was one of the employees who was working at the school. And she was sharing when she was younger, 10 or 12 years old maybe, that she remembered Op Santa coming to visit Nepakiak and how excited she was now for her kids to be able to have that same experience and to be able to share that and to see their excitement and their enthusiasm. And those are the kinds of things that just, you know, they make your heart happy.
Wow.
That it made such an impact on her, and now we're impacting the next generation as well.
How fun.
When you donate a vehicle to the Salvation Army, you help combat homelessness and substance abuse locally. Donate your unwanted vehicle today. Call 1-800-728-7825 for fast service and free pickup. Or visit www.cardonationsa.org. That's CARDonationsa.org.
So what does that look like? You're setting up, I mean, you set a school. So are you setting up in the school? And can you tell us a little bit about when the helicopters arrive and you all get out, what goes on?
So when we hit the ground, there are vehicles. Sometimes it's a pickup truck. Sometimes it's a four-wheeler. Sometimes it's a snow machine. Sometimes it's a school bus. And we load onto whatever transportation there is, and we head to the school, which is typically the largest meeting place in the community. And while we go to the schools, the event is not just for the school kids. We invite everybody from the newest baby to the elders and everybody who can break away if they're working and come and just be part of the celebration. And we typically have a packed room. So we take our team, and when we do these short little hops to nearby communities, oftentimes the guard will deliver the toys in advance because then we're not having to move cargo. But other times when there's an adequate runway, we arrive with cargo and everything and have to completely unload and move everybody into the community. So there's typically an area where Santa is going to sit, and some communities go out all out and build like an elaborate design to have a backdrop for Santa to sit in front of. Most times there's a little Christmas tree, and so they really get in the spirit and want to make this special for their community as much as we want to make it special, which is always wonderful to see. And we set up an area where we have backpacks, and sometimes we pre-stuff the backpacks, and other times we just take the backpacks, and kids get to kind of visit from table to table and pick what they would like. So it really depends on what the space is and what the time is going to be in the community. And then we set out the presents so that they walk in and they just see these piles of presents. And they're all wrapped by volunteers who help us in Anchorage. We start wrapping in September, and usually by the end of October, we have everything packed, and the National Guard comes and picks it up, and they get it packed on their end to transport it and get it to the community. So typically, then we have a few speeches, welcome from the community. We love when there's a dance group or the kids are going to sing Christmas carols, or, you know, we want it to be kind of an exchange of experiences, and we want them to be part of the celebration. And then we sing a carol like Jingle Bells or something that everybody knows. And that's Santa's cue, and he comes into the room and Santa works his way around and he shakes hands and greets all of the kids and makes his way up to the front. After that all happens, then I like to say it's organized chaos because we have so much that needs to happen. And we always kind of have to keep an eye on the weather. We never know when the weather is going to change, and we might have to cut the program short and pack up and head out so that we can get out of the community and get everybody back home that evening. So we start usually with the little kids who get to come see Santa, the babies and the infants and toddlers and preschoolers, while we have the oldest kids and the elders go get ice cream sundaes, and we have the elementary age kids go and pick out their backpacks and other things. So it's kind of like a little bit of organized chaos, and we just keep information over usually a microphone, and I'm always impressed how helpful the community wants to be. The teachers sit with their kids and they line them up by class. And I remember one year I went, and this was, I think, maybe one of the more impactful times when I really thought about how significant Op Santa really is for these communities. The children had lined up, and then they would go and they would sit down, and they were sitting and they had their gifts on their lap, and they weren't opening them, which is really not what typically happens. Normally, you know, kids on Christmas morning, they rip open a present. And so I asked one of the teachers, I said, you know, it's okay if the kids open the presents today. And she said, no, they're going to take them home because they really won't have anything else to open on Christmas morning. Mm-hmm. And I thought, gosh, you know what? It just makes this all so worthwhile to know that how important this is. And, you know, maybe that made it a special Christmas for them and that we had just a little part in making that happen.
Mm, absolutely. So you mentioned a little bit about how the communities are chosen and that they've perhaps had some sort of hardship in recent times. This year in 2019, you went to Tuntulliac and Napikiak. Can you share a little bit more about those two communities and what they're like?
So they are both fairly small communities on the Kuskokwim River. They are in close proximity to the community of Bethel, which was wonderful because Bethel is where I go and visit, and we have feeding programs there through our service extension ministry. So to be able to fly in and get to some of those outlying communities, because we oftentimes will get requests through some of the organizations in Bethel that they have information about a family who has had some type of illness or possibly a death in the family or a fire that's impacted their house. And we've been able to help provide food and sometimes clothing to help those families. So Tuntutuliak was about 20 minutes by helicopter outside of Bethel. And you just kind of fly along the tundra, and it's what they call a boardwalk community. So there are no roads in the community. Everybody is on snow machines or four-wheelers. I don't recall seeing any vehicles, not to say that there weren't any, but I don't recall seeing any while we were there. So we just kind of followed the boardwalk, and they took us and dropped us off at the schools. And they were just, they were excited to see us. They had people waiting there, waiting for us to get set up and ready for the program to start. In Napikiak, there are some challenges that community has faced because of erosion, and that they are in process of working to relocate the community to safer ground. And so this has been a process that's been ongoing for quite a while, I believe. And I don't know when that process might be complete or how extensive that process is going to be. But, you know, as we were going back out to the gravel pad where we were going to get on the helicopter, the gentleman who was driving us took us by and showed us, you know, how close some of the buildings in the community are to just kind of falling over into the water because of erosion. So, you know, so that's a community that was kind of in transition. And so I think it was a good opportunity to go because they've just been in this process of change. And it had been a long time since we had been to Napikiak. I think it was about 20 years since Operation Santa had been there. So it was time.
So as someone who's been part of so many of these deployments, you might say, and have been to so many communities with Operation Santa, why do you feel like it's important for the Salvation Army to be involved in this kind of project?
Well, I think It gives us an opportunity to experience Alaska, to understand some of the challenges that people encounter. It gives the community certainly a sense of being special and being acknowledged, and that, you know, that when things seem to be the same day in and day out and life maybe is tough and difficult, just to have reason to stop and celebrate, I think maybe helps the winter pass a little quicker. It doesn't make the problems go away by any means, but it just gives, it gives different perspective, and it causes us all to come together. It doesn't matter that we come from Anchorage and, you know, have all of the modern conveniences and that we go to a small community. I think it just brings us together as Alaskans.
Why do you personally enjoy being part of Operation Santa?
I love to meet people, and I love Alaska and the opportunity to go and to just make new friends. I think that's really what I love about it.
That's great.
And it doesn't hurt to be friends with Santa either.
That's very true. Well, Jenny, thank you so much for sharing today and for giving us a little window into this really unique and amazing partnership that the Salvation Army has developed in Alaska.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
And thank you for listening to the Do Gooders podcast. Until we chat again next week, keep on doing good.
Thanks for listening to the Do Gooders podcast. Find the show notes for this episode and all past episodes at caringmagazine.org/podcast. And if you love the show, would you share it with a friend? We'll see you next time.